going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Bob, we'll get back to the Penguins and Mike Sullivan. Huge news. They've parted ways with Mike Sullivan. Apparently, there's still an idea out there that Dubas and Sullivan get along. I'm not sure I'm believing that at the moment, Bob. I didn't believe it last year at this time when it was reported that there was friction. They wanted to get rid of Todd Reirden. They weren't seeing eye to eye on a philosophy moving forward. Why isn't Sullivan here? And maybe they liked each other, but I would include friction as I have this vision for this organization. You have a different one. We got to part. That's the very definition of friction to me. And of course, we have Crowley and Dickerson reporting that Sully Crowley told me from an impeccable source that Sully went to them with a list of non-negotiables. As if we couldn't picture Sully doing that? I mean, the report seems very believable to me. I trust their reporting, and the fact that so many people from certain areas have jumped out to refute it makes me believe it 1,000 times more, Bob.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And whatever the case, you know, again, I think both sides were kind of looking for an exit strategy, and they both found one that made sense. So they did it. I will say this, there's always friction between coaches and GMs. I don't care who you are and what you do, but there's a mutual respect that goes with that, too. You can have different opinions, and that's how it should be. There's nothing wrong with all sorts of different opinions when you're trying to put together a team, a roster, your thoughts about how you should play, all of that. Did it ever get to the degree where they couldn't coexist? I don't think so. I just also think there was a time, and this was the time. So they both did what they had to do. Whether it's a non-negotiable list or not, something happened in that meeting that made them realize it was time to move on. So that's where they are right now, and the next thing will be, who do they hire? Would you want a big-name coach? Would you want a guy in, you know, college ranks who's doing a really good job? There are a lot of those
sure,
guys.
Sure, I want Spencer Carberry II. I want a guy who can instill a structure and grow with the younger players. The Capitals are not that talented.
But you have to have players who adhere to that, too. The one thing I'll say about
Washington,
no, but some of their older players did adhere to it.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to have that buy-in from those people.
Sure. Yeah, of course. That would be my preference. I'm waiting for, you know, more names to come out among these young guys, but it may very well be someone that nobody's heard of. And I think that's where Kyle Dubas is going to go, too, by the way. And wasn't Carberry in the Leafs organization when Dubas was there? I think somebody like that is my preference. How about you, Bob? Or would you prefer a veteran?
I think I'm looking for somebody who has, and listen, Mike Sullivan was in that boat. Bielsma was in that boat. There are a lot of coaches that just need a chance. Carberry is only 43 years old, and he's had a big history of moving around a lot as a player, for sure. I'm just looking at his resume right now. He was an assistant with the Toronto Maple Leafs in 2021. So if he hadn't had a job in Washington, he may have been on the list here for the Penguins, because I do think Kyle Dubas will tap into that list of associates he's had over the years.
All right. Well, we'll come back to that. In fact, Tyler Kennedy's going to join us. But we have a draft to talk about. Bob, your initial impressions. How about an initial grade before the semester even begins for this draft?
These are hard to give grades when you don't see anyone play other than what they've done in college. But I'll give it a B+, a strong B+, because I think they had a need to shore up a defensive line, to get physical in trenches. I think this has been a continuation of what they've done the last couple of years. 2 years ago, it was offensive line with Broderick Jones. Last year was more offensive line with three guys taken in their draft to play offensive line, and all three ended up playing quite a bit, including Zach Frazier and Mason McCormick. So this year was the other side that they wanted to take care of, and they got two guys who have history of doing that in the Big Ten Conference. That's the other takeaway. It's a very, you know, they were looking for production. Everyone wants to go to combines and talk about all their leaping ability and this, that, and the other thing, but they were looking for production. So I think they got a lot of guys who have proved to be productive in college, and whether or not they take that leap up to the NFL, we'll see. I think Will Howard was a very good value pick at 6. They needed a quarterback to put on there, and who knows what he can turn out to be.
Well, I'm going to give it a B- for now, and I don't get me wrong. I really do like Derek Harmon as a player, for example. But I think they passed up the quarterback. I mean, it would be ridiculous for me to sit here after all these months of praising Jackson Dart and quoting people like Ben and Jack Ham and Dan Orlovsky and Pat Bostic, who all of whom would have endorsed the Steelers picking Jackson Dart at 21. And I think they passed up a potential franchise quarterback. So no matter how much I may like the pick that they had or the picks that they had, but especially in the first round, I think they passed up a guy who could be their guy into the future. So we'll see. Aaron Rodgers for a year. Next year's the year. I don't know. Limits, what do you think? What grade do you give them?
You know, I, as the draft went on and on, started to like it more and more. I give them an A-. I think the Harmon pick was a good one. I did not think that he was going to be available for him. Caleb Johnson, another really good pick. Sawyer, a really good player. Saw a lot of him at Ohio State. Again, it doesn't fit a need, but I think of good value. And you think about how the Eagles have built their team up with like 12 different pass rushers.
Yeah.
It adds to that. A-. They didn't draft the quarterback till the 6th round. That's what I wanted. I was completely fine with Howard in the 6th round because we're talking 3rd round for Will Howard.
I'll tell you
at
this
point.
Much, Limits. They're definitely going to win the Big Ten next year, the Steelers.
Easily.
Bob, they're the favorite to do that.
But
I don't know about a playoff game.
Don't even have to change uniforms. Black and gold for Iowa, black and gold for the Steelers. So
just a 3-hour drive for Will Howard and Jack Sawyer right now.
I like that Omar and Mike doubled down on defensive linemen. I do like that. They took 2. But again, overall on the draft, and it wasn't just me, like it's not some out of nowhere harebrained opinion on Jackson Dart. It might be a wrong one. Of course it could be wrong. But when somebody like Jack Ham and Ben endorse such a pick, Bob, I feel pretty good that was a guy. And then he goes 4 picks later. To me, there was a major missed opportunity there. But it's going to play out over the years. But here's the other thing, Bob, and Limits. And Limits, you might want to pull up a little chair because it's story time with Grandpa Joe.
I'd love to.
Even though Bob's older than me. Would you like a cup of hot cocoa or something cooler on a day like today?
Today I might go with a nice glass of ice water.
Bob, I'll give him a glass of ice water.
I think when you're going to do these kinds of stories, lemonade or an Arnold Palmer mixture.
An Arnold Palmer will give you
Limits. Do people call it ice water? I just say I would like some water, and ice is just automatically assumed.
Bob, ice is never assumed, is it? Because some
supposedly,
people like lukewarm
ice water,
water
is not as good for you as lukewarm
That's
water.
That's right, Limits.
Really?
Things have changed.
I think it also depends on where you are, because there are some places that just do not give ice.
That's a good point, Bob. Like, if you're in a restaurant, you're not necessarily getting ice in your water, Limits.
Oh, I think you are, yes.
Bob, are you definitely getting ice in your water?
I habitually do, yes. Always. Even though I just said it's not good for you, I still like it.
Here's what I'm getting tired of. The big, bad, physical, nasty Steeler theme. Mike Tomlin saying we needed to retool physicality in so many areas, and Omar Khan saying these guys have Steelers DNA. How many years are we going to talk about this? How many? Limits. And this is where we go back to, well, we can go back to the Kevin Dotson draft. And we can talk about how Adrian Klemm at the time loved that draft because Kevin Dotson and others in that draft were in the mold of Vince Williams and David DeCastro. And one thing they say at Stanford, said Adrian Klemm, was they were building a bully. And we want our offensive linemen to be like that. We're going to be nasty. That was the word coming out of that draft. Were you still in high school then?
Yes.
Then there was 2021 where we had more nasty people taken. In fact, I think our very own Mark Cabali, our dearest Mark Cabali, was quoted on The Athletic, or maybe this was 22. Was 22 the Kendrick Green year? Green fits the mold of what the Steelers have been doing with their line all offseason. They've preached, everybody together now, the return of physicality. That's why Mike Tomlin says it's better to say whoa than sick'em, or just whoa, Bob.
Think a lot of people are looking and pointing toward the Philadelphia Eagles as reason why they want to try to do that because they've been so successful with their trenches
sure.
both sides.
My point would be they've wanted to do this and have espoused this for years now, and they got pushed all over the field last year, couldn't get a yard on offense.
Because they had the wrong people.
Right. So why should we believe they have the right people now?
You got to keep trying until you get it right, right?
I'd say the same with a quarterback, but I'm not even done yet, Bob. There was the 23 draft, and the Steelers got guys like Mount Washington, etc. in that draft. And guess what everybody said? Joey Porter Jr. they got in that draft. We're going to smack you in the mouth, Joey said. And Mike said, obviously we value all together now, if you're out in your cars,
physicality.
And these people are capable of playing a brand of football that we value. Bob, I think I'll keep going here. Then there was the big physical draft of last year. And then there was the training camp of last year that had a physical theme. And all the new guys were astonished at all the tackling that went on. And Van Jefferson said, Mike, wants all 11 of us to be physical on offense. And we got other teams, Jalen Warren said. They know what it is when they play the Steelers. You can see what we've built here. Well, again, what they built here is a team that got shoved all over the field for 10.5 minutes at the end of the Eagles game, something I've never seen before. Same thing happened.
Closed out the game.
Yes.
Just took the ball and never gave it back.
Same thing happened in the Ravens game, the playoff game, where they allowed 300 yards. And they couldn't get a first down on offense when they needed one. They punted on 4th and 1. So in this camp, I think this was Mike DeFabo, and this was a good story. This was last year's training camp. In this camp especially, the word physicality has been on the tip of many players' tongues. When the Steelers hired Arthur Smith, who's known for his run-heavy, tight end-friendly offenses, the new coordinator made it a point to say he wants to have the most everybody out in your cars all together now, the most
physicality
on offense in the league. And that buzzword has carried over to the practice field. So I'm sorry. I love Derek Harmon and Sawyer and some of these other guys. He looks like he's a really good player. I'm talking more about the team at large and this idea of Steelers DNA and physicality. They got their asses kicked last year. And every year in the playoffs, they line up and they get pushed off the ball. They can't get a yard on offense to save their lives, and they can't stop anybody. So what Omar and Mike should have done is sit down and say, listen, we've preached this stuff year after year after year through two regimes now. I don't blame anybody for not believing us, but we love what we got, and we'll see if it pans out. We're tired of talking about it. But instead, we got Steeler DNA. What does that even mean, Bob? Is that like looking for a Brontosaurus' DNA? Yeah, they were physical and tough and mean a lot of years ago.
What you said was all right. The plan was correct and still is correct. The execution of the plan has not been correct, and that's the problem. You know, you thought with DeMarvin Leal, you get a guy who make a difference on that line. You thought with Isaiah Loudermilk, they were propping him up. They moved up in the fifth round to get him, that he would make a difference. There are a lot of guys who've come and gone who have not done on the defensive line what they were supposed to do. So the plan is fine. It's
and
just
the offensive line.
Well, both. But that's what I said. The last 3 years, they have tried. And whether or not they succeed or not, we'll find out. Broderick Jones moving over to the left. They better hope that's the cure that he needs. And with Fatano, but you can't go against what they were trying to do. Now, it's about these guys taking that next
step. Oh, no,
step.
I love trying to do it. Every team in the league is trying to be physical and
right.
push
so
people
the
around.
The plan is fine. The execution of the plan has not been.
What year did they draft Najee? 21?
21, I think.
21. Yep. I went all the way back to 20. But again, 21, the plan was, we've got this, you know, physical, intense runner, and we're going to push people around in the run game. That's what we're going to do. We got our quarterback, we got our running back, we got our tight end, we got our receiver, and we're drafting linemen, and we're going to have a bruising, physical, ball control offense to complement our highly paid, physical, nasty defense. Well, that defense gave up more 40-point games in a row than any in the playoffs, than any defense that has ever been in the National Football League. Nobody had ever given up 40 points in three straight playoff games.
Record-breaking.
And it should be five, because if Josh Allen wanted 40 last year or 2 years ago, he gets it. If Lamar wanted 50 last year, he gets that. But he was too busy running off the last 11 minutes of the fourth quarter, shoving the ball down the Steelers' throat. And I get it. Now they're addressing it again.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I just don't want to hear about the big, bad physical Steelers anymore, because they've been talking about it, mostly Mike Tomlin, been talking about it for years, and not only has it not come to fruition, the opposite has.
Right. They have not done what they said they were doing. They acquired guys who were supposed to solve that part of it, and it hasn't happened. So that's why they did it again, and we'll see what it means. But the bottom line is you have to win the trenches, and every team knows that. Every team goes out to get that. And that's why it's hard to give grades on draft day. You can look at it, feel good about it. They all do. I looked at some national reports where just about everyone, the lowest grade I saw was a C.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything below that. Well, you know, in time, we're going to find out what this is really, the grade that it deserves.
Yeah.
And some of the you know, previous ones have been failed grades for the Steelers, and a lot of other teams have thought they had hit gold in these drafts. So
I guess, Bob, it's the idea espoused from them, their sort of aura, and certainly around the NFL that, oh man, these are typical Steelers picks. Nice and physical, they're Steelers, and the Steelers always know what they're doing, right? You can count on the Steelers. Well, before Fotanu, who we don't know about, and Broderick Jones, who took a step back last season, they nailed two of their previous 10 first-round picks. It just feels like it's taking a long time for people to realize maybe the Steelers, Mike Tomlin specifically, don't really know what they're doing. Maybe this idea we've had of them for so long was wrong.
Well, it may be. You know, they're going to keep doing what they're doing, and I don't know if it's the right way or the wrong way. They better get it right this year because they have too many things invested. You know, we talk about quarterbacks and, you know, how long are you going to keep chasing that? And if you miss, you got to keep chasing it and spending more draft equity on it or free agent money. Same is true with these offensive tackles and defensive line. If you don't hit on them, then your plan of trying to be physical and taking the air out of games and doing, you know, to others what the Ravens did to the Steelers doesn't exist because you can't do it. You can't execute it. So that's why this is, you know, a work in progress. We'll see how it goes. They all fit what the Steelers are trying to do, I think, what they're looking for. If you look at their college careers,
sure.
Broderick Jones was dynamic. So was Fotanu. So was Harmon. All those guys have what it takes. At least they did in the college game. Now they need to take it into this part of the game and be dominant at it.
412-928-9370. You hit on something there, too, for me, Bob, and that is it's just hard for me to get excited about anything when you don't have a quarterback. And I don't think even if Aaron Rodgers comes here that you're going to have a quarterback who's going to lead you, I don't even think to a playoff win, but to championship contention. It's just
you see a scenario where he's actually better than you think and with the two wide receivers they have?
It's always possible, but that's not the way I'm thinking.
I know. I'm just saying it could happen.
It could, sure.
And I think that's how they're banking on this happening.
But I'm not seeing it because I see a guy in decline who doesn't
I think it has to be perfect.
Overly interested in playing football, which is a slight problem. And so all the rest of this, at least to me, is rearranging deck chairs. But please, please, Steelers and national media, spare me the physicality conversation. Because it's been going on for years. When I see it, I'll believe it. Haven't seen it for a long time. Spurts, certainly defensively, they've delivered some command performances in recent years in Buffalo, in Cincy against Burrow, but nothing that they ever maintained. And by the time they hit the playoffs, well, they've been one of the worst playoff defenses in the history of professional football. That's not an opinion, it's a fact.
Yeah, and that's the thing they kind of have set this up for. They put all the money into the defense. They put, you know, high picks into defense over the years, and you expect more than that. They went out and made a trade that they never trade with giving up a first-round pick to get Minkah Fitzpatrick. And the last couple of years, we have not seen that same player that we saw in the first time around with him. So all of this is adding up to where this is a big year for them, and they better come through with run-stopping first and foremost. You know, you can talk about pass game all you want, but if you can't stop the run, then you're never going to stop a team, period.
True. Because
they can dictate everything they do to you. And that's what happened in that Baltimore game. They just said, we'll run it, and once in a while we'll throw it, and we're going to have success because you're putting everyone in the box.
So does adding one guy in the middle of your defense make you believe that when they line up?
No, it's a step in the right direction.
Sure.
I mean,
but when they step up against Lamar and Derrick Henry in a game that matters – Do you have faith in that? I don't know. Plus, Cam now is 1 year older.
Right, he's going to be 36.
He was fabulous last season, but I think an undersold story or undertold story would be that he was hurt at the end of the year. And if you look at his numbers from the last four or five games, did he even have one sack? How many quarterback hits? He was hurting.
Yeah.
And he's a year older.
17 games at age 35. That's hard to do at that position.
Exactly. And now age 36.
Right. So that's another concern. That's why you need more people there. They added two this year. They're going to have to probably do the same thing next year.
So overall, do I like the player? Definitely like Derek Carmen a lot. Other than him, Bob, when you look past him, who's your favorite pick from the Steeler draft? And you can chime in on this as well.
I would be
the first
inclined
round.
To say Sawyer, only because I like how he plays. But I don't know if, you know, he's – and I wondered about that just because now they have four edge rushers. It's always good to have, you know, depth at positions. I get that. But I thought if he was really looked at, you know, globally as someone who's going to make a difference, he would have been taken higher than the round he was taken. But I still like him. I'm intrigued with Will Howard only because I see a guy who – seems to understand, you know, big stage football, at least in college.
Yeah.
I think his upside right now is a big-time backup. I don't know if he can be a franchise guy, which I, you know, thought going into this whole process that they would draft a quarterback, but it wouldn't be the franchise. That would come next year. So we'll see. But I've also seen guys develop quickly. So I would have to say Jack Sawyer followed by him.
I'm going to go, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly. This is from Brooke Pryor. Is it Y-E Black?
Y-A.
Y-A Black?
I think it's Y-A Black.
Y-A Black.
Like Y-A Tittle, but it's not spelled that way.
I like that a lot, Bob.
Y-A-H-Y-A.
I just like the fact of going back and getting a guy who has a giant man who has a run-stopping resume. My favorite part of this whole draft was that Mike and Omar doubled down on the defensive line.
They had to.
And brought in a guy like that. So when I say, is one guy going to make a difference? Well, maybe two do. Maybe two make a difference up front. Maybe this kid could come in and play.
I think the expectation is they both should play right from the get-go, or very quickly anyway.
Limits, who was your favorite pick after Harmon?
Harmon, 6'4", 315, and Y.A. Black is 6'5", 335. So they definitely have added to that defensive line. I like the Caleb Johnson pick. I didn't know if he was going to be available. Big Ten running back of the year, first team all Big Ten. He had a school record 21 rushing touchdowns last year. And yeah, he's only a 4.57 guy in terms of speed. We'll see how that might translate, but 1,700 all-purpose yards. I think they have a pretty decent tandem now between Warren and Johnson that they could build around for years to come.
Don't
so I like the Johnson
Kenneth
pick.
Gainwell, I think he was an under-the-radar pick, selection free agent.
Well, I have a lot of questions for both of you about that and the draft at large, including the Shedeur Sanders drop.
That was very interesting to watch.
It was. I like Caleb Johnson. I was slightly alarmed when Nick Saban said he reminds me of Najee. I'm hoping the fact that he had some explosive runs, several in college, translates to the NFL because his 40 time doesn't indicate we have a sprinter, a home run hitter on our hands, but he did have longer runs than Najee did when Najee was in college. And I don't know if I've told you this, Bob, but there's a list of Steeler running backs from history that had both a higher yards per attempt and a longer run in their career than Najee. Have you heard about
I've
this?
I've heard that before, yes.
Can you name two of them?
From the Steelers, you mean?
Yeah.
Willie Parker?
Certainly him. I'm talking mediocre guys, though. Najee Davenport?
Oh, the dump truck. That was one of the best nicknames ever, the dumb truck.
Tim Worley?
Tim Worley?
Pollard?
Pollard?
Tim Worley was a seventh overall pick, I believe, yeah. and he was out of the game before you knew it, right?
Right.
I mean, he didn't last.
And yet still had a longer run, or a couple of them, than Najee ever did.
Wasn't Jonathan Dwyer on that list?
He was on that list, Limits, and thank you.
You're
Chris
welcome.
Kuamata Ma'afala was on that list.
Well, Garrett Blunt was on that list.
Garrett Blunt was on that list. Come on. You need some explosion in the run game.
Well, maybe
is this
guy
going to add it? Is he going to add
it? His time doesn't indicate he would, but yeah, they need it. They need people who can do that, who with one play can change everything.
That's what they need. And he did
Warren
have those
plays.
Warren
could be that guy. I still think Warren, coming into this, should be the lead back, even though they're going to use both guys. You know,
I'm going to ask you in Limits about that coming up next, Bob. We're going to look at the Steelers' position groups after the draft, and I'm very excited to hear your opinion on that. Talking about the Steelers draft at the moment, we're going to get back to Mike Sullivan and the Penguins parting ways here. Dale Lally, who I think he works for the club, does he not, Bob?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes, he does.
We were talking about Caleb Johnson, and yeah, my hope is that some of those long runs in college translate, even though the 40 time that he had a 4.57 sort of stood out. I'm just wondering, you know, I hope that translates. Dale says that the 4.57 number is deceptive, that Johnson reached 22 miles per hour per GPS measurements on field. That translates to something in the 4.3s, and there are only a handful of NFL players, including DK Metcalf, who have hit 22 miles an hour. So what are we saying here, Bob? That they just got one of the fastest players in the NFL? That seems like a stretch, but maybe the number is deceptive. the 4-5-7.
Yeah, but I've from watching video of him, it looks like he's very good at going left to right and changing direction pretty quickly. I don't know how you factor that in a 4-5-7 time, but that's a straight line time. But when he has to make some maneuvering, he's pretty good at it.
And they need explosion, hits. And I hope he has it.
Well, he may have it, not straight line, but he may have the ability to create openings for himself that lead to big runs.
I just care about the line of scrimmage and then that goal line down there, and I want him to be able to have a run in his first year that's longer than Najee's career long of 37. So we'll know soon enough. And some of these guys do have game speed more than 40 speed. And sometimes a 40 speed, when it's time, can be skewed by a number of different factors. Mm-hmm. But it did jump out to me. I just hope this translates, because I think they need that in their offense. I do. They and I don't. You think Warren might be that guy?
I think Warren has a better chance of doing that than anyone else. He shows me when he gets to the open, he can turn it on. I think there's a second level of speed there. So,
well, let's talk about this, Bob, and limits. Let's talk about post draft here and pretty much post free agency. I mean, as the late great Gene Hackman said, my team is on the floor. It looks that way with the Steelers. I want you to tell me about their position groups, limits, and Bob. And I want you to say how you feel about this position group right now in its current state. Great. Good. Okay. Can you practice that, Bob?
Do we have to say it that way?
Yeah. Practice it.
Great. Good. Okay.
Limits.
Great. Good. Okay.
Or bad. One of those four. Let's begin with the quarterback room, where, by the way, the Cleveland Browns have built the most incredible quarterback room ever known
cornering
to man.
Cornering the market on quarterbacks. They just took more and more.
Deshaun Watson, Joe Flacco, Kenny Pickett, Dylan Gabriel, and Shador Sanders. That is a miracle. They should do a Netflix special just on that room, Bob.
How in the world do they go from taking Sanders, but after they take Dylan Gabriel? Makes no sense, which if you saw the video of those guys clapping, kind of like they were on a golf course, just a
well,
very
yeah,
nice
we were
clap.
Joking about that Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Somebody
told him, you got to take this guy.
I think so.
And if Jimmy Haslam is the guy doing that, why would he, after what he did with Deshaun Watson? He was the guy who told them, we're going to bring Watson in.
I have no idea, but that video of Stefanski and Andrew Berry clapping, someone tweeted out, blink twice if you need help to those guys. It was just...
Joe Flacco will be their starter. Opening day, he'll be their starter.
That's interesting. We'll talk about that a little more. Has anybody ever in the draft, and if so, how many teams, ever drafted a quarterback? What round was Gabriel drafted in? Third or fourth?
Third round.
Third.
Third. I thought it was
third
fourth.
Round.
I think it was third.
It was Friday night.
Has anybody ever gone with quarterbacks in the third and fifth round of the same draft? If they have, I'm saying it's been no more than a handful.
No, I do think about when RG3 and Kirk Cousins went first and fourth round. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
That was different. They had, to me, they were not going to make a quarterback selection. And if they did, it was going to be late with somebody who was left over.
And now, all of a sudden, that was highly unusual. Yeah, has anybody ever taken a quarterback in the third and fifth round? I present that to anybody out there to research starting now. Including you, Limits.
I'll try to find it first.
All right, let's keep these brief. The quarterback room of Mason Rudolph, Will Howard, Skylar Thompson, and I'm going to say presumably Aaron Rodgers. How do you feel about it, Bob? Good, bad, okay, or miserable?
I'm going to say okay.
I'm going to say miserable. Limits?
I feel okay about it.
So nobody feels good about the most important position on the field. Should we begin and end our conversation there, Bob?
Well, that's a big part of it, obviously, but that's going to take more years. I don't think they're going to address this until next year. They're going to hope Rodgers comes in and plays at a level that they can be competitive with some pretty good wide receivers.
It's a win-now organization. That's why they brought in DK
Metcalf.
And
that's why they're bringing in Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I feel miserable about the quarterback
room. You may change.
And therefore, everything... Well, you only said okay.
I said okay because...
You don't even feel good,
no,
let alone great.
And it's based on Aaron Rodgers coming in here, and what kind of Aaron Rodgers will you see? If he's protected with some time, he's got some wideouts who can make things happen. He's got a big tight end. He has weapons. Yeah. That could be successful. If not, If he breaks down, if he's a statue, gets hit, and he's out, then it goes from okay to miserable.
Could I change my evaluation, Dr. Starkey?
Please.
I'm going to go with good, because the more that I hear you guys talk about it, this is the position that I want them to be. I wanted Aaron Rodgers here. I wanted them to focus their attention to next year's quarterback class. I saw Dalton Wasserman of PFF today put out his first 2026 mock draft. And would you like to guess who the Pittsburgh Steelers select?
14th Please don't say Arch Manning.
Overall.
14th overall.
14th overall. From the Pennsylvania State University quarterback, Drew Aller.
No.
See, and that underscores that all these alleged experts who are like, oh, next year's quarterback class, my God, you know, you do everything you can to wait for that.
Yes.
To wait for Drew Aller?
He has Sam Levitt, Garrett Nussmeier, Cade Klubnik, and Arch Manning in the first round taken ahead of Aller.
You may have that opinion now, Joe, but one more year under their belts, it has produced some changes in how people are viewed. Kenny Pickett's the biggest example. He was a fifth-round pick.
I know,
had
but
he
it
not
was
stayed
deceiving.
For an extra. But I'm just saying.
I agree.
You can put yourself in a better position, and I think that's what these guys are expecting.
If Drew Aller
guys.
Goes out and throws for 100 touchdowns and no interceptions next year, I still won't think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback.
Let me ask you this. Should Shedeur Sanders have stayed at Colorado? He was going to make between $6 and $7 million this coming year. He took a chance.
I mean, now you say yes, but nobody knew that was going to happen.
Oh, there were people talking about that.
Not that he was going to drop to the fifth.
No. That he had the decision to make. And I say that about Quinn Ewers, who reportedly was offered $8 million to transfer from Texas to some school that apparently, according to Yahoo Sports, said it was $8 million. You don't get $8 million when you're a fifth-round pick or a sixth-round pick.
Yes, he should have done that. But I'm sure he can still make money on the side doing stuff anyway.
Not that much money. Not $8 million.
Probably not. So, yes,
you get one more year of college, and then how about if Quinn Ewers becomes the number one pick in the draft next year because he stayed an extra year? That's my whole point with this stuff.
He stinks, Bob.
But another year in college at a high level, and I would assume he's going to a team, and if they're going to spend $8 million on a quarterback, that would have been a very good team.
I agree. Can I get back to the conversation at hand?
Didn't mean to do that to you. Sorry.
Sorry. The running back room of Caleb Johnson, Jaylen Warren, Kenneth Gainwell, and Cordarrelle Patterson. Do you feel great, good, okay, or miserable,
good.
Bob? Yeah. Limits?
Good.
I feel somewhere between good and okay. I guess good. I mean, Gainwell and Warren seem to be a little bit redundant. Patterson, I was kidding about, although he's still on the roster, miraculously. I guess it's all about who's going to be the starter.
I would think Warren's going to be the starter.
Well, why'd they draft this kid then?
Well, because you need more people in there. Same that you keep drafting defensive linemen.
If I go for a running back,
more people.
If I go in the running for a running back as my second pick of my draft in the third round, and the best we can say is he fits under the category of you need more people, then I've made a bad pick, and I don't think he's a bad pick. So he better be the starter, and he's the reason I trend toward good. I think he has a chance to be good.
He may eventually get more carries than Warren, but I think it's going to be a shared existence back there.
Yeah, I think it'll be shared, but I think he should be the starter. Of course, I haven't really seen him play other than a few games in the Big Ten. So good to okay. Okay to good. The wide receiver room, Bob, which currently consists of George Pickens, DK Metcalf, Calvin Austin, I guess Roman Wilson, maybe a little Ben Skoranek. Is he still here? Maybe a little Scotty Miller. But really, I mean, we're talking about the top three or four, and I'd include Wilson as the number four. Great, good, okay, or miserable?
As constructed, I would say between good and great, because I do think that's going to be a big strength to them, whereas last year it wasn't.
Wonder Twin?
I feel just okay about it. I like Metcalf a lot. Look,
wow.
I like Metcalf a lot, but I'm concerned about Pickens in a contract year, them not either trading him or committing money to him, what that's going to be like.
How about
like
if it's good? How about if he says, somebody gets to him and says, you know what? This is on you now. You have to put up numbers. And he does.
Bob, I'm shocked by this development that he only called it okay.
Oh, on paper, I mean, Pickens and Metcalf could be a top five duo in the NFL. But I have the fear factor of what George Pickens is going to bring. Plus, I don't think Calvin Austin's anything special, and Roman Wilson was a huge disappointment last year.
But if they both do, you know, Roman Wilson may be better than you think. He hasn't had a chance, and Calvin Austin, I thought, played very good last year.
The team itself, well, at least through Bob Labriola, said he couldn't learn the offense last year, Bob.
Roman Wilson.
Yes.
Well, another year under his belt, he'll be able to do it. He better.
Only takes 2 years to learn the old
offense. Don't you think Austin, he took a big step?
I liked Austin by the end of the year. I didn't love him. Guess what? I agree more with limits than you.
You say okay.
Because of the George Pickens factor.
Yeah, but that's a wild card. If you're having to look at strict talent, what they have.
Well, I'm looking at the quarterback room. I mean, strictly talent, I could
again,
go a lot
Aaron
of different
Rodgers
ways.
Comes in, I know that, but I'm just saying there is another side to it. It's easy to say
this
is just going to be a miserable failure, which it could be. But it also has potential to
yes,
be
it
something
does.
Much better than
and
it was last
think,
year.
You think you're leaning toward potential. I am leaning toward limits, where I feel somewhere between okay and good, because I don't trust, even though Jason Mackey admonished us in a column today, not us in particular, but anybody who thinks that the Pickens thing could potentially blow up because he doesn't have a contract, he thinks that Pickens will be on the straight and narrow
so
here in pursuit of money.
He has to be. If not, he's going to cost himself a ton of money.
What from George Pickens' career tells you that when he's in a position where he needs to perform and be on the straight and narrow, he will?
Money.
Okay. You can make that bet. I'm not.
We'll make that bet.
All right. Next, the offensive line. And we got to get to Tyler Kennedy. But let's do the offensive line very quickly.
That's another
right one. Now, it's Zach Frazier with Seumalo and McCormick as the guards, Broderick Jones and Fatanu as the tackles. You know what the depth is. A little Ryan McCollum here, a little Spencer Anderson there, a little Calvin Anderson here, blah, blah, blah. Bob, how do you feel about the line? Great, good, okay, or terrible?
I'm going to say between good and okay, because I have to see Broderick Jones get better.
Yeah.
And he's the key to it all. If
yes.
he doesn't, then they're in trouble.
Between good and okay, just like Bob. I mean, I think Faltano is going to be good, and another year of Zach Frazier will be solid. I want to see McCormick grow a little bit more. Broderick Jones is just a huge question mark.
I agree with every syllable and quarter syllable you and Bob just uttered.
Thank you.
And we'll get to the defense later on, but the big news of the day is Mike Sullivan and the Penguins parting ways. Our very own Adam Crowley, Doran Dickerson. Crowley tells me an impeccable source tells them that Mike Sullivan approached the Penguins with a list of non-negotiables. Clearly, they were negotiable from the Penguins' side, it certainly seems. And the fact that there's been such an outcry that that's not true tells me, well, I believe it is. It just reinforces my belief that it is true. Either way, the best of luck to Mike Sullivan, the most accomplished coach in the history of the Penguins. I think this is great for him, and I think it's great for the Penguins. And I think the Steelers missed this opportunity when the Chicago Bears called about a Tomlin trade. Love Mike Tomlin. Love Mike Sullivan. They've won all there is to win here, the highest level, a Super Bowl, two Stanley Cups. And then when you get into years upon years upon years of just high-end mediocrity and not winning one thing of significance, then it's time to move on in pro sports. Scotty Bowman moved on from two organizations. Bill Belichick moved on. Andy Reid moved on. It's okay for everybody. In fact, it might be beneficial. The Steelers can't get there. The Penguins did. However they got there doesn't really matter to me now. I think it's best for both parties. Tyler Kennedy talking about the Mike Sullivan era and what might be next. Next on Pomp and Joe. Call in now. I don't know, that's in the noon hour. 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Peters Township. The Fan and the Pirates want to visit your teams in action for our youth baseball softball showcase presented by Sheets. Parents, Bob, do you ever wonder where all the chickens come from?
Strangely enough, I always have.
So have I. Something. Even in this little radius.
Yeah, there's so many chickens.
In a 5-mile radius here, there's probably 30 restaurants, all of whom have chicken on the menu. There's fast food places that only serve chicken. I just ate chicken with my lunch. Forget about Green Tree, half of Green Tree. And now I'm drooling. Think about Pittsburgh. Think about Western Pennsylvania. Think about the state of Pennsylvania. Think about all of America and then think about the world. Bob, where do all the chickens come from?
I don't know, but I've always wondered. That's one of those questions that I didn't know you were going to throw out today, but over the years, I often wonder where do they get these? Where do they hatch them?
You know, Joe, sometimes there's questions that you might ask that you just ultimately don't want the answer to.
Do I not want, like, chicken, certain chicken nuggets? I'm not saying from anywhere in particular, but...
Might not like it, Joe. I wouldn't ask that question.
Limits, are there more chickens or people? I think that's a reasonable question right now.
Bob? That's a really good question. I'd say people.
I'd say people, but I think the chicken population is growing.
So do I.
Yeah,
so.
It's on the rise.
Leaning toward chickens. It's unbelievable. It just freaks me out. And I just ate chicken and had me wondering.